If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone.
Touchdown.
Punches to the end zone.
Touchdown.
This is Collegiately Speaking with the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
And hi again, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Collegiately Speaking, our weekly look at what's happening around the Northwestern Wildcats. I'm Dave Ennett with former Northwestern quarterback Dan Persa. Cats got in the win column for the first time in 2025 on Friday night at Northwestern Medicine Field with a solid wire-to-wire win over Western Illinois, 42-7. They led 42-0 before a consolation touchdown for the Leathernecks with less than 3 minutes to go. Granted, Western Illinois is not the toughest team the Wildcats are going to see this season, and a far cry from what they're going to experience this week when Oregon comes in. But all in all, Dan, after what happened in Tulane in New Orleans the week before, I think they would gladly take this one.
Absolutely. They did what they had to do, and I think, you know, we both know Northwestern has struggled with FCS teams in the past, so you can only expect them to play the team that shows up, and they played well and took care of business. So some other positives and negatives to talk about, but overall I thought it was a good outing.
You know, that's a great point, because you're right. The FCS teams, and certainly David Braun has a lot of experience having coached at the FCS level and had some big wins there, and I think he knows the mentality, the mindset of an FCS opponent. That hasn't necessarily worked to the Wildcats' advantage in the past, and I think that being able to come up with a really convincing win, a lopsided win, something that has eluded them, and you know, in my mind, one of the most important aspects of this game was, A, the way they started fast, and B, the way they were able to get a lot of young players who don't normally see the field some playing time late in the game, even though it probably cost them the shutout.
100%. That'll pay dividends as you get deep into the fall and the Big Ten season when injuries come up. But no, I think the thing I was impressed with was just the energy that they came out with. You know, you're always worried about a little bit of a letdown after a tough loss like Tulane, but you know, I thought they played with a lot of energy. They were efficient. The defense played pretty fast, and the pass rush was relentless. Again, Western, I didn't think was the most talented FCS team that Northwestern's ever faced. But again, they did what they had to do. I think from a quarterback position, Preston played well. There's still a couple throws out there that have you kind of holding your breath here and there. One on that first drive, that long hitch route that I think against Oregon that would probably be a pick six, but I don't think that's a fair comparison. And then there's another throw to Griffin Wilde that you know, again, was a good throw and a great catch, but a little bit, I would say, too many defenders in the area for Big Ten play. But you know, look, Preston has a lot of confidence. You can tell that pretty easily. He can make a lot of throws, and the scramble touchdown early in the game was evident. The touchdown in the corner of the end zone was a great job, you know, looking off the corner down and throwing that us or nobody throw to the tight end. But he's got a lot of swagger. I think you just have to be careful and keep your emotions in check in the Big Ten when, you know, those guys are on scholarship too and now getting a lot of NIL money, and they're going to make those plays. So you just have to be a little bit more careful with the ball.
Let's talk about the real bummer that came out of this game. And by the way, we're going to visit with Northwestern's, he's second-team quarterback. He really kind of electrified the night in the fourth quarter. Ryan Bowe, the redshirt freshman and the number two quarterback for the Cats, is going to join us in a bit. But let's talk about the real sour note of this one, and that was the injury to running back Cam Porter that ended his season. And I know everybody around the program feels so bad for Cam. He's a guy who has just given his heart to Northwestern, going back to his sensational freshman season when he really burst onto the scene. And remember, he was unstoppable in that Outback Bowl against Auburn and the COVID year, got hurt the following year in fall camp, ended up missing the season. battled back, made his comeback over in Dublin against Nebraska, and really was a key factor in that 2023 Las Vegas Bowl team. And unfortunately, suffered a knee injury that's going to end his season. And, you know, I know that's certainly something that everybody just aches for Cam, but from everything I've heard, his attitude is just unbelievable in terms of still wanting to be a part of the team. He's a three-time captain and is going to stay very active with him, but really a tough break.
Definitely a tough blow for the team. And I think more so than the field, just from a leadership standpoint. Obviously, I think he's a three-time captain. So a huge loss in the locker room in preparation, and his physicality really early in the game is always important every time the Wildcats kick off. So yeah, definitely feel for him. Injuries are part of the game, especially non-contact injuries are always really tough. But luckily for Northwestern, they have a lot of depth at that position with Komolafe and Joseph Hyman. So, you know, hopefully those guys step up and rise to the occasion. And I think those are two really talented guys that we can talk about later. But I think the offense coordinator needs to do a little bit better job of getting them in space because of their talent. But yeah, definitely feel for Cam. And hopefully he can kind of stay involved in the locker room and continue to push the guys forward.
Wildcats obviously had a big advantage on up front on both sides of the ball. They ran for almost 300 yards and they held Western to 71 yards rushing. And, you know, you really saw that exemplified as this game went along. And, you know, you're not going to have that necessarily against a team like Oregon, certainly, but it ought to give that offensive line a little more confidence, right? Because the question still remains that right tackle position where you have Deuce McGuire and Martez Lewis still rotating and sharing that position.
100%. I think at the end of the day, like I said before, you can only play against the people that line up against you. And I think, you know, building confidence as an offensive line unit is very important. And same thing on the defensive line. I think they really asserted their will across the board, which is going to hopefully pay dividends as you get into the Big Ten season, because injuries are going to happen. Teams are going to get better and better. And the pass rush, as we all know, dictates a lot of games in the Big Ten. So yeah, I think it's important to control the line of scrimmage. That being said, Western didn't seem as deep or obviously as large or as strong as Northwestern. But yeah, overall, I thought it was a good outing for them and a step in the right direction.
I want to get back to the offense and the receiving core in particular. And you mentioned Griffin Wilde. A couple of games now, he has really stood out. 5 catches, 94 yards, including that 46-yarder on Friday night. And we knew that the advance word on him was that he was the guy who was going to pretty much catch everything that was thrown in his direction. And he had a huge year last year catching, what did he have? He ended up with, I think, 71 catches, over 1,100 yards at South Dakota State. And would it translate? But so far, it looks like it does.
Yeah, I think, you know, he looks like a standard Northwestern inside receiver, right? In the ilk of a Zeke Markshausen or a Jeremy Ebert, right? Very savvy guy, can find the holes internally and pretty much makes every play. Seems like a smart guy out there. But yeah, as we've talked about in the past, the receiving core has been probably one of the biggest questions on the offense, probably the team as well. So having Griffin there is very helpful. It's good to see Amarazzi and guys like Hayden Allegian, you know, get out there and make some plays. But they're going to continue to need to, you know, develop throughout the season because you're going to need depth there, and guys to make, you know, contested catches throughout the fall.
And how about the tight ends too, becoming a factor in the passing game?
100%. Yeah. I think, you know, Welsing had a great game. There's a bunch of other guys that are contributing and kind of filling in the shoes of Thomas Gordon and the other folks that were there last year. But I thought Coach Lujan did a pretty good job of getting the tight ends involved. I think generally I'd like to see a little bit more creativity on the short yardage situations and in the red zone, tight zone, rather than just kind of running inside zone and that kind of getting stopped in that way. But yeah, I think it's a talented offense and they're still trying to figure it out and hopefully they can get the ball in the hands of the playmakers, specifically a Joseph Hyman, in my opinion.
Bo faked everybody out. Comes out around left side, stiff arms a man, and he's down the left sideline, 15, 10, 5, dives to the end zone, touchdown! Ryan Bowe delivered some punishment along the way and takes it all the way. Richardson, the guy that he stiff-armed, and he reaches the end zone with some speed.
Well, that's how it sounded on WGN on Friday night. Ryan Bowe, redshirt freshman quarterback from Batavia High School, scoring the first touchdown of his career in the Wildcats' 42-7 win over Western Illinois. Ryan's kind enough to join us now just off the practice field in Evanston. Ryan, thank you for the time, and take us back to that run and tell us about the stiff arm. Has that always been part of your repertoire?
First off, thanks for having me. So, that run, I mean, I kind of saw him coming at me, and I was like, all right, let's try it. It ended up working, and then as I'm running, I'm just like, don't get chased down, don't get chased down. it was really cool. Definitely a really cool experience.
Our sideline guy, Jake Saunders, down there said on the air, he said, Ryan's going to be sore tomorrow from the pounding he took when he got to the bench from his own teammates. They rough you up a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it was really nice to see all the guys just being excited. I think it just shows, like, the team bond we all have. We're all getting excited for each other. They were all there supporting me, cheering me. So it was really nice.
Well, it has to be fun to do it at home also. You saw your first action last November at Wrigley Field against Illinois. What was that like for you?
That was definitely a good experience. Definitely kind of got me a little bit of game experience. Just to have that definitely helps out just for any time in the future when my number gets called. I think that was definitely a great learning experience for me, and I'm just thankful that I got to do that.
All right, tell us a little bit about your game. You played at Batavia, as I mentioned. You won a state title there. Were you a dual threat guy when you were in high school?
I wouldn't necessarily say dual threat, but I could run it here and there. Needed a scramble, I could do that. Wouldn't really consider myself like a Lamar or anything like that, where I'm going to be running all over the place, but right. I think if I need to get those yards, I can go.
Well, let's talk about your role on this team. Now, you come in, obviously game was well in hand, but you're also ready in the event that Preston Stone can't go or they make a switch at quarterback, whatever the case. How do you see your role, and how much are you relying on Preston now as a upperclassman, as a guy with a lot of experience, to kind of learn some lessons from him?
Oh, for sure. I've learned a lot from Preston. I mean, he's so smart. Just his football IQ is just off the charts, and I think it rubs off on me, and not just me, like the whole room. I think it's been great to have him here for the season and the off season. I mean, it was just the amount of stuff that I've learned from him is just incredible. So I'm glad he's in the room, and it's a great learning opportunity for me.
Ryan, let me bring in Jack Heinrich, who's got a question for you, Jack.
Yeah, Ryan, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it. My question to you is, like Dave said, you played in one game last year. What's the big thing you've been working on as redshirting last year and then into this year? With Coach Lujan, what's the big thing you've been working on with him?
The biggest thing I've been working on is just fully feeling confident with the playbook and kind of just trusting, like, myself with the progressions, the reads, and also just, like, identifying coverages. Me and Coach Lujan have been we worked on that over the off season, just pre-snap, getting a good pre-snap plan, allowing yourself to kind of play free. Once you kind of have an idea, I think that's what we've been really working on.
Well, certainly this is a much anticipated game coming up on Saturday. You guys got dealt some tough news this week with word that the Cam's going to be out. And I'm sure that's tough. But at the same time, I would think that he's going to still be part of this team and very active around you guys, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah, it was awful losing Cam. I mean, he's a great football player, but he's also just a great guy. He's a really team-oriented guy. Will always be there for you. But yeah, he'll still be around, kind of just there with us. And it's just great to have him around. He's a great leader. But yeah, it's great to still have him around.
Well, what's the level of excitement for this game Saturday against Oregon?
We're all really excited. I mean, it's a big game. I think we're all excited. The first Big Ten game. We're all just super pumped up for it.
All right. Well, listen, Ryan, we appreciate your time. Thanks for jumping on with us, and we will see you on the lakefront on Saturday.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Take care.
You too.
All right. Well, Saturday, Northwestern Medicine Field at Martin Stadium sold out. In fact, all the remaining single game tickets are gone for the four remaining home games, but this one has been sold out and anticipated, the first Big Ten matchup between Northwestern and Oregon. And Dan, you look at what Oregon has done in their first two games, and it's really ridiculous. And it shouldn't be surprising, because you go back to last year and look, what are they? They lost one game, and that was in the national semifinal to the defending champs, who they managed to beat by 1 point at home back in October. But Oregon has just been blitzing teams their first two games, averaging over 60 points a game. Now, it's one thing to do that against Montana State, another thing to do it as they did this past week against Oklahoma State. They're loaded with talent on both sides of the ball. Every one of the skilled positions is a threat, and it starts with their quarterback. But what has to be the mentality for this team on Saturday going against this Oregon team, which a lot of people think, if they didn't win the national championship last year, they're going to find a way to do it this year?
Yeah, it's a great team. I think, you know, with any explosive offense like Oregon has that can score quickly, I think one of the emphasis needs to be keeping your offense on the field and sustaining drives. Obviously, if you go out there and have a couple of three and outs quick and you find yourself down, you know, 14 or 21 in the first quarter, as Oklahoma State did, it's going to be impossible to come back on them. So I think you got to slow the game down, sustain drives, obviously not turn the ball over. But at the same time, maybe don't poke the bear like Oklahoma State did. Maybe don't talk about their NIL spending, and maybe to avoid any controversy, reach out to them early and see what jerseys they want to wear to try to keep them asleep early in the game.
The average score of their first two games has been 64-8. They have averaged in total offense 568 yards, 282 on the ground and 286 through the air. So pretty good balance there. Their quarterback, Dante Moore, you know, really interesting story, because, of course, they lost Dylan Gabriel. Moore was in a reserve role last year after transferring from UCLA. And all he's done the first two games is throw for almost 500 yards, six touchdowns, no interceptions. And he manages to spread the ball around, which you would expect. And he was terrific Saturday against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I don't think Northwestern is going to see a more talented team than they're going to see on Saturday. Oregon's a juggernaut. They've been this way since Coach Lanning has come to town. They score fast. They have very talented skill positions, and their defense plays fast and furious. So I think, again, Northwestern just needs to take it one drive at a time, not get behind early, take care of the ball, you know, just stay in the game, because so many teams that play against Oregon, again, go three and out, turn the ball over and wake up with a couple minutes to, you know, pass in the first quarter down 14 or 21. And, you know, you're not going to come back from that, because then you start pressing and worse things happen. So relish that opportunity and get after it.
It was 20-0 Oregon at the end of the first quarter Saturday in Eugene at Autzen Stadium. It was 41-3 at halftime. And, but I think the one thing is, and you kind of alluded to this, you also can't, you got to resist the temptation to try to get into a shootout with them, because to outshoot that team is going to be almost impossible.
Yeah, it's like the basketball analogy, right? You're not going to win that game. You have to play a game that you can win, right? When you're playing Duke in the 90s, when they have J.J. Redick and they're firing off three-pointers every 5 seconds, you can't, you know, go up and down and try to win a shootout. You have to slow the game down and control the ball. Time of possession is going to be very key, right? So Northwestern has to play a game that they can win, and they can't win at this point a 49 to 48 game, right? Just not going to happen. So again, possess the ball, stay in the game, and give yourself a chance in the second half.
You know, lots made of the early kickoff time, and back in 2015, Stanford came in. If you remember, they were a highly regarded team that battled that season for a playoff spot, and they had Christian McCaffrey, and they came in for an 11 a.m. kickoff at Ryan Field, and the Cats pretty much shut them down and won that game. And that became sort of a bone of contention all season long on the part of Stanford. They were complaining about that endlessly. Somehow, I know it's an early kickoff for Oregon, and I know it's 9 a.m. their time they're kicking off, but a team of that caliber, I can't imagine that's going to be that much of a distraction or something they have to adjust to. I mean, these guys have been aware of the start time for a long time. It was set before the season for national TV. And so, you know, I got to think, as much as Northwestern fans might like to think that's an advantage, maybe in some small way it is, but I have a feeling Oregon's going to be ready for that.
Yeah, I can't imagine they won't be. And maybe it helps, you know, early on the margins, but it's not going to affect the game wholesale. So, you know, they're going to come ready to play. They're one of the best teams, if not the best team in the country, right? They're not going to be out of the gate slow. So I think Coach Lanning is one of the smartest coaches in college football. He'll have his team ready, and whatever they have to do, whether it's waking up early or another cup of coffee, they'll be ready to go.
It's an 11 a.m. kickoff Central Time Saturday, the Cats and the Oregon Ducks. I'm looking forward to it. The weather's supposed to be good, and we're going to see Northwestern Medicine Field and the waters of Lake Michigan in all their glory under a sunny sky. And hey, let's see what happens, right? If the prognosticators are right, it's going to be a tough day for the Cats, but maybe they can surprise people and build on something going forward. They go to a bye week next, and then UCLA comes in. They've had some struggles of their own early on, so I think it's going to be a fun day. Let's see what happens on Saturday. Again, we'll have it right here on WGN Radio, the pregame at 10:30 on Saturday, and then the kickoff coming up at 11. And Dan, we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Collegiately Speaking. Many thanks to our producer, Jack Heinrich. For Dan Persa, I'm Dave Ennett, and we'll talk to you again next week.